Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
We are now ready to address the third section in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. For those who are regular listeners, I think you know where we are and where we've been and where we're going. But for those who may be tuning in for the first time today or only tune in from time to time, you need to understand that in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, the author, is exploring, or he's writing about the various areas of exploration that he delved into during his lifetime to try to find what elements of human existence add the most value to our lives in terms of happiness, contentment, fulfillment, and so forth. And because he had virtually unlimited financial resources and he had virtually unlimited independence, authority to do whatever he wanted to do as the king of Israel, he was in a perfect position to pursue all of these different areas of life and to analyze them and then to write his evaluation for our benefit. We can learn a great deal and we can save a lot of wasted time in life going down dead-end streets if we'll listen carefully to what Solomon has told us. And so for that reason, we are making our way through the book of Ecclesiastes. And in chapter 2, first of all, he evaluated the value of pleasure and wealth. And he found that that isn't of any great value, no lasting value. It brings a certain measure of satisfaction, but it's fleeting. Secondly, he evaluated the value of wisdom, and that one really surprised me when I first realized what he was saying, and that goes back, several years ago now. But when I first realized what Solomon was saying, he was saying basically, wisdom isn't all that it's cracked up to be either. This from the wisest man who ever lived. And though wisdom is better than folly in some ways, in some areas and circumstances, it is, the advantage is very temporary, and death is the great leveler, and it's not the big advantage that a lot of people think it is. Well, now the third section of chapter 2 is the value of labor. Working hard. That, surely, is the one thing that will bring some real significant satisfaction to life, or so we might think. But let's find out what Solomon has to tell us about it. And so we'll do that on this Thursday, July 16. We're grateful that you could join us, and we're thankful that some of you support us financially to make this possible. So now we come to verse 18. Then, now he's, first of all, evaluated the other things that I've already mentioned. Chapter 2, verse 1, I said in my heart, come, now I will test you with mirth and so forth. And that goes through the pleasures and wealth section. We come to verse 12. We find another transition. It says, Then I turned myself to consider wisdom. And he tells us what that consideration yielded. And now we come to verse 18, and he says, then, another turning point in the chapter, then I hated all my labor, which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will rule over all my labor, in which I toiled, and in which I have shown myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. Therefore I turned my heart and despaired of all the labor in which I had toiled under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, yet he must leave his heritage to a man who has not labored for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what has a man for all his labor, and for the striving of his heart with that which he has toiled under the sun? For all the days are sorrowful, and his work burdensome. Even in the night his heart takes no rest. This also is vanity. Wow. He was a hard-working man, Solomon. Not in the realm of physical labor. He had servants to do that. That was one of the pleasures of life that he mentioned in the first section. But he was a hard-working man. He was diligent. He pursued all of these areas with great zeal, with great toil, with great intensity. He wore himself out in these pursuits. And he got to the end and he said, look at all that I've built. Look at all that I've accumulated. He built the kingdom of Israel to its largest expanse of anybody. The territory was larger under Solomon than it was under any other king. It grew in under his reign and then shrank after that. There were times when it expanded a little bit and contracted a little bit and expanded a little bit and contracted a little bit. But Solomon was the one who took it to its greatest glory. And that was obviously because of the blessing of God upon him, but not apart from hard work on the part of Solomon. God is the one who is the author of all that comes to pass and of all the blessings and successes we have in life. We must ultimately attribute them all to him, but he has particular ways that he works in the human affairs of life. And in the case of Solomon, and in the case of most of us, he brings these successes through the instrumentality of our diligence and labor. And Solomon says, that's why I became immensely wealthy. That's why I became so tremendously famous. That's why I built so many building projects in my kingdom. Why I expanded the grandeur of Israel through my architecture and building projects and gardens and on and on and on it goes. I did that through hard labor. I gave myself to it. I toiled unceasingly with great energy and intensity. And I've come to the end of life and I'm saying, why did I do that? What was the value of all that? And he states that right up front in this investigation. And what he says basically is, when it comes to labor and hard work, it has no lasting value for the one who labored. Verse 18, then I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. He tells us that he regretted to some extent the degree to which he worked hard. I've heard it said that on the deathbed, nobody says, I wish I had worked more hours. I wish I had worked harder. Generally, people will say, I wish I had taken more time to be with my family. I wish I had taken more time to invest in the lives of my children. I wish I had pulled myself away from my work and spent more time building relationships with other people. And a lot of people get bound up in their work. They are workaholics. Not everybody is, of course. Some are just the opposite. But a lot of people get all bound up in their work. They're workaholics. And when they get to the end of life, they can, sometimes they have the wisdom to see, I overdid that. That really wasn't the best thing to spend my energies on to the degree that I did. It's not that I shouldn't have been doing that at all, but to the degree that I did, I was overdoing it, and I see that now. And that's, in a sense, what Solomon's saying. Then I hated all my labor, which I had toiled under the sun. because I must leave it, and he's talking now about all the material things that he accumulated, which were vast, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And what he's saying is that there's no control as to the extended use of all of these things that he worked for. Verse 19, who knows whether he, the man who comes after me, will be wise or a fool, yet, whichever one he is, yet he will rule over all my labor in which I toiled and in which I have shown myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. This also is foolish and empty. And as you remember, there are different shades of meaning for that word vanity, but it certainly also is fleeting. And how many times we've observed things like this, people who worked really, really hard, build a big estate of some kind, build a big business, whatever, and then they passed it on to one or more of their children who didn't work for it and therefore didn't understand it like they did and didn't value it the way they did. And it passes into the hands of their children, and sometimes their children are not very wise. I've seen that over and over again, haven't you? And the children will squander what their parents labored so hard to build, and it makes you wonder, was it really the right thing to do? Was it really worth it? Number one, should I really have worked that hard to accumulate things, to make myself a success financially and in business, when I probably would have been wiser to have invested more time in building principles and character into the lives of my children? I see now, and many people don't realize this at the time, but I see now that in some ways I neglected them. Well, I provided for them, bought them all the things that money could buy, provided all of that for them, but I can see now that in the things that really matter, I, to some degree, neglected them in order to accumulate all this success, and now I pass it on to people who aren't prepared to handle it wisely. That wasn't too smart, was it? And so when it comes to working hard and labor, there's no lasting value for the one who accumulates things, and there's no ultimate control over its extended use. The effort is what he's saying. The effort outweighs the benefit. The estate is built. The heritage is the portion which one must leave behind at death. And the burdens of life undermine the legitimate pleasures of work. There is a certain amount of satisfaction and value in working hard. He's not saying that there isn't. That is one of the, that's something that God ordained, that we work and work hard. He designed us for that. He designed the world in that way. He commanded Adam to work, to be diligent in his areas of responsibility from the moment of creation, even before the fall. It wasn't, as some people erroneously believe, that work is the result of the curse because of sin and the fall in the Garden of Eden, and if it weren't for that, we wouldn't have to work. No. Work was part of the pre-Adamic fall creation. It's one of the good things of life, but in proper proportion and moderation and in concert with other things, particularly spiritual values. And so we'll take it up again tomorrow, Lord willing. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.